Hey, podcast here. Frank Sasso here from New Pod City. Just want to let you know, August 3rd to the 6th, August 3, 4, 5, and 6 of 2021, we will be heading down to Nashville, Tennessee for the Podcast Movement 2021. If you want to come and join us in Nashville, Tennessee, August 3rd to the 6th, 2021, you can go to podcastmovement.com, buy your tickets, and be sure to type in New Pod City to receive a 30% discount off your ticket. That's right. New Pod City, all one word, no spaces, to receive a 30% discount right off your ticket price. We look forward to seeing you down there. Sasso out.
It's time for the Trenton Waves Arts and Leisure segment with me, Bernard McMullen.
Hey, podcast, yeah, Frank Sasso from Trenton Waves here with a very special segment we're going to get into right before the interview with Jacques Howard. Just hold on tight, buckle up. Jacques is there. He's not going anywhere. He's going to wait because I have with me right now Trenton's own Bernie Mac. Bernard McMullen is with us today. Bernard, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, you know, we all went hunkering down to do stuff for COVID. I've been building things and that kind of stuff. But
there's a lot of good stuff going on.
There is. And, you know, as we're moving out of this, we're trying to get some things underway.
Well, I hear that there's like this weekend coming up alone, there's like five things going on.
Absolutely. It's just incredible.
That is really cool. People are just tired of this whole COVID nonsense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. I think it's time, because we didn't do it last year, it's time to officially announce this weekend coming up, June 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's right. You know what I'm going to say. They know what I'm going to say already.
You could already
hear them. They're going to say it. Taste Trenton is back with a vengeance, baby.
Absolutely.
Oh.
We're delighted to be doing this.
Finally. Yes. Gosh. TasteTrenton.com.
That's it.
You can go to TasteTrenton.com, get all your information, but we're going to talk a little bit about it first.
Sure.
Let's get into it. Taste Trenton 2021.
So Taste Trenton, this is our fifth time out, I believe. Taste Trenton is a self-guided restaurant tour that we've curated at about 34 restaurants this year.
34?
Wow. That's a little bit down from last time, but that's okay.
Last time was what, 41?
41, yeah. So we're at 34 this time.
To only be down by five.
Right.
Is not bad, considering we didn't do it for a year because of the COVID fiasco.
Right.
And I people just chomping at the bit, and business owners especially.
Yeah, the restaurants were very excited about doing it. There are a few who couldn't do it this year because there are weddings they're going to. I thought that was, you know,
real
cute. Yeah, they had weddings, and so their staff are going off to
wedding. Wait a second. The business owners had a wedding to go to?
Yeah, and so they're closing down the shop for the weekend.
I wonder if COVID was never a thing, if they would have ever done that anyway.
I don't know. Maybe.
That's interesting.
Maybe. So, but, you know, we said we understood it was perfectly fine. And frankly, 34 is a good number. It represents about a third of the sit-down restaurants that are in Trenton right now, according to the city records.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's really incredible.
Wow, that's really, there are that really many good. Places. Yeah. That is really, really good.
Of the 34, about 10 or 11 are restaurants that have opened since we last time ran Taste Trenton in 2019. Right. So we're really excited about having them in it. Here's how it works. You buy a wristband from Taste Trenton. We'll be available at Artworks, which is over on Everett Alley, which is actually...
Right across the street from New Pod City.
Right across the street from New Pod City and the New Jersey Department of Motor Vehicles. So you know where we are.
Right, exactly. Right across.
And
exactly.
We'll be there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can walk in anytime, buy a wristband for $10.
Anytime on Friday?
What anytime. Time?
Really?
I'll be there probably at 10 o'clock.
Okay, so not anytime.
Not anytime.
Has to be after 10.
Right, have to be after 10. That's true.
Now, I can see people from DMV coming in at 9 o'clock. Where is he?
Where is he? Why can't he do it? You know, and Laura Notice will be unhappy that he's having to deal with people walking in asking for these tickets. You buy the wristband. You go online to tastetrenton.com. It lists you the restaurants that are available. It shows you a map.
Good.
You click on the map. You click on the restaurant that's there. It shows the hours. It tells you what their liquor licenses requirements are, if they have a full bar, wine and beer, or BYOB, or just don't have liquor at all. It tells you the hours they're open, because not all of them are open all the hours of Taste Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you whether or not you can eat in, if it's takeout, or whether there's an outdoor dining area.
Nice.
So that's really cool. And then it tells you the five or six dishes that they have offer. They're offering anywhere from $3 to $7.
That's outrageous.
Just as a sampling menu. So
you know what they do.
So what they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the idea is to get you to go to as many as possible. Mm-hmm. As I said, you know, 34 is tough in a whole weekend, but if you really try hard, you can make it. And the whole purpose of this is to promote Trenton restaurants and to show people the diversity of food offerings that exist in Trenton.
Wow.
So we've got, you know, a whole bunch of great places. We have a traditional group, Guatemalan, Costa Rican, Mexican, as well as African-American soul food, traditional American food, whatever that might mean. We have a Russian-Georgian place. This time.
What's this?
From the country of Georgia. It's the best shawarma Georgian food.
It's shawarma?
Yeah, shawarma.
Wow.
Over on Olden Avenue, so that's cool.
I am going to try this place.
That's right.
Shawarma.
We have a new Colombian restaurant that has opened up over also right near that place on Olden Avenue. This one's on New York Avenue called El Catador.
New York Avenue.
New York Avenue is... right across from the, it's the old pottery region of Trenton.
I know,
Copper.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I know where, yeah.
Across
I know
the ambassador.
Yes, got it. Right, okay, got it.
So we are really excited. The event runs from 11 or noontime through 8 o'clock each one of those 3 days.
Wow.
But I want to tell you something special, which is if you need a little time to plan your day, we've recruited One Up, One Down Coffee Roastery.
Okay.
And they're open at 7 or 8 in the morning.
Vince and Natalie
right?
and Eric. Eric is great.
And they're offering 10% off on any of their coffees, and as well as anything you want to buy. If you know, that,
so do you have to show your bracelet?
You just show your bracelet.
That's the only way you're getting the 10% off.
That's the way you get
you
the
hear
10%.
That, people?
Yeah, you got to get the bracelet.
Show your bracelet.
That's it. And you get the 10% off. You can look at your on-site and say, here are the four places we should go today. Or
yeah, you can, that could be the meeting place.
That's right.
Where you plan out the Taste Trenton Day.
Exactly.
Or 3 days.
Right. I should call out two additional places that are sort of special this year. They're not traditional restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Royal Creations.
Oh, Tia.
Yes. So,
that place is dangerous.
That's right. Yeah.
Taste Trenton 21. That does not mean 2021. It means the 21 pounds you're going to gain when you go there, but it's so worth it.
Absolutely.
Royal Creations. She is out of control.
Yeah, she's got great stuff, and so we are really excited about them. Oh, and it's sort of an unusual thing. I decided to branch out a little bit, and I recruited Tiernanog, which is a classic Irish pub.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't serve food.
No.
But I spoke to the owner, Todd and Maureen.
Yes, yes.
And said, hey, would you like to do this? And I talked to him just in February 2020, because we were planning to do one in 2020.
Right, exactly.
And he said, yeah, that might be fun.
Yeah.
Of course, everything fell apart. February, March, April, and May, and then for a whole year. But I went back to him and said, hey, you still interested? So he's agreed. What he's offering is a special drink, a Slane Dublin Mule,
ooh,
which is a special Irish whiskey that he's going to be serving with, I believe, a ginger beer or a ginger ale. I'm not sure what he said.
But those guys are out of control.
You know, when he said ginger ale, I was thinking, you know, pop soda.
Yeah, no.
But it's,
a
I think
ginger ale as in
I think
a
that's
beer.
What it is. Exactly.
And let me tell you, look, listen, don't let anybody tell you that Tiernanog is in Hamilton. It's not.
It's right.
In Trenton. And they are very proud of that fact, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They are in Trenton.
They are in Trenton.
Yeah,
that's right.
Good stuff. Love that place.
You bring up something important. That we have limited Taste Trenton to restaurants and entities that are in Trenton. So even if you're across the street.
No, yeah, it's half the name.
If you're not in Hamilton.
And it's nothing against Hamilton. It's not Taste Hamilton. It's Taste Trenton.
Right. And now people say, oh, you don't have such and such. And I'm saying, yeah, I'm sorry, it's not. And then we have fights about whether or not Laylor Street is.
Listen, I have the same problem with this show.
Yeah.
So it's Trenton Waves. It's not Ewing Waves. It's not Hamilton Waves. It's not Princeton Waves. People are like, oh, well, I'm an artist. I'm like, well, good, then do a show in Ewing. Do your own podcast then.
Right.
Call it Ewing Waves. I don't care what it's called. But you're not coming on here. It's about Trenton.
About Trenton. Well, thank you for
good.
That.
You're
welcome. We need the play. So that's a way to end the night, is it?
Yes, okay.
But in the meantime, there are... as I said, 34 places, and you can find out about all of them at tastetrenton.com. Again, I should tell you that about 20 restaurants are offering a special dinner menu as well. So they're not only offering small samples, but if you know you're too busy on those days, you can actually go out to dinner and see what they're offering on tastetrenton.com.
Sure,
and they've cut $4, $5, $10 off the deal, off the regular.
So if you have like actual dinner, they'll do that for you.
Exactly.
You see, again, this
show
is so great.
Right.
That's the whole point of Taste Trenton anyway,
right.
Is to let you know, hey, you know what? This place to eat in Trenton, and it's good stuff, really good stuff. Speaking about us needing the play, no pun intended, there is a play going on the same weekend at the Amphitheater in Mill Hill Park. Is that
That's right? It is.
What's going
on?
What is that?
Well, I know what it's about.
What
but I don't know the name of it. I remember the incident that is the genesis of the play. About 4 or 5 years ago, during the previous mayoral administration, I believe it was Isles.
That would be Jackson.
Yeah, it'll be Jackson.
Yeah, Mayor Jackson.
Isle's got some money to do run a program with kids here in Trenton and, mm-hmm. and other places to do some art. And they engage some sculpture folks yeah. from the Grounds for Sculpture who sort of mentored these kids.
Sculptural folks?
Yes, you know, sculptures.
Sculptors.
Sculptors, yeah, okay. All right.
I was
afraid to say
now?
That because I'm
sculptural
gonna,
folks.
Well, yeah, they're nicely structured. They have good shape,
good
yeah.
bone structure. That's right.
And so, in any event, they engaged these kids. They developed a piece of work and collaborated and got it all finished.
Okay.
And Isles had it placed in Old City, not too far from City Hall.
Okay.
On a corner there. And it was a symbol that you've all seen of an OK sign, holding your index and your thumb together. And
oh, the OK.
And,
yeah, right. Yeah.
The traditional
yeah.
OK sign.
The three fingers
and
up.
And
that's,
you know, everybody uses this symbol. You
sure.
know, I got photographs of just about every politician in the world, you know, waving to his crowd okay, or
sure.
her crowd doing
or
that.
Like a coach or whatever.
Right. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, good job. A-OK, mm-hmm.
there
whatever.
You go.
Right.
Perfect.
And somehow or other, someone driving by thought that perhaps it was reminiscent of some gang sign.
What, the OK symbol?
The OK symbol.
Yeah.
And raised this as an issue for the community and to the mayor.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah.
And I believe it may have been a police officer or whatever, but anyway, it got blown up much more than it should have.
Of course, like most things.
And it got bounced up to the mayor,
yeah.
who, frankly, I don't think handled it that well. Isles finally gave in. Because
yeah.
they didn't want it either vandalized. They didn't want to cause a rift about a kid's piece of art.
Mm.
I mean, it was just young adolescents. They did a great job. And so it was removed and put in storage.
Oh, come on.
Right. It raised the question of who decides what art is and who decides what public art is.
Well, well, I like my wife's definition of art. Her definition of art is, if I can do it, it's not art.
Right. And unfortunately, the message that came may have redounded to these kids, though I don't know for sure, was your work doesn't count.
Wow.
Your work is not acceptable.
Wow.
And that somebody driving by can say, oh, that's got to go, and back them up. And you go, wow, is that
really?
What we're really about? And on the other hand, I've seen some public art that, you know, we've, quote, paid for by official government money.
That are like doozies.
Go, oh, wow.
Yeah, should be taken
right.
down before it even got started.
That's right. And it's just because it's unappealing. So
right.
that incident became the kernel for writing a play, which is what Passage Theater has done. And
oh,
I believe
so
they are doing a preliminary reading or an acting of it this coming weekend on the Saturday.
What time?
Now, I wish I knew the time.
You don't know what time it is. You know the name of the play or what time it is?
No. I'm not helpful.
I know who we can call. We can call Ryan. You know, I'm going to get her on the phone right now.
See you in the finder.
Let's see. Maybe she'll answer the phone. Calling Ryan Dominguez. Oh, okay.
Ooh,
director of Passage Theater. Going to get her on the phone, get some answers here.
Hello.
Ryan.
Hi, good to hear from
Ryan.
You.
Oh, Ryan.
We need some information, me and Bernard.
Okay.
How is it that we know of a play that's going on next week about the OK symbol being taken down during the Jackson administration, and we know nothing, we can't find it online, I can't find any information about that. What's going on?
Passage Theater has been working on a play for actually the past 4 years now about the Helping Hands statue coming down, and it's actually turned into a much bigger play, but it's we're doing a stage reading of its current draft on June 12th at the Mill Hill Park Amphitheater at 5 p.m. People can come by and check it out. Been in development for about 4 years. It's going to go onto our main stage next February 2022, and really it's about, you know, the statue coming down, but it's become, you know, a lot has happened since then. So statues have started coming down for various reasons, you know, all over the United States. We're looking at public art in a much different way than we used to. And so, yes, it's about that. It's about the Trenton community. And really, it's about public art and its place in the Trenton community and what public art has done for the Trenton community, but also what public art means at large to the country
right now.
That's very nice. So, yeah, we've been developing it. And so we'll have our current version on June 12th, and then we'll get feedback from the community, and then it will go back into development. So you'll probably see a much different play in February of 2022 than you'll see this June, but it's all based on verbatim interviews. So we've interviewed all kinds of people, Leon Rainbow, Marge Caldwell Wilson, James Peeble. We've interviewed all kinds of people from the community to get their points of view on both the Helping Hand statue and on public art in the city.
Wait, so you interviewed James Peoples?
Oh, yeah, he's in it. You name it. Tamara Torres.
John Hatch? Is John Hatch in it?
John Hatch is not in it.
Mm.
But now that you mention it, he should be.
Yeah, exactly. Because What's something without John Hatch?
What
I mean, really.
What is anything about Trenton without John Hatch? You are
exactly
correct.
Exactly.
Correct. You know, he's on our board, though. So
yeah, well, okay.
Could call him up and say, hey, John.
I guess, but that counts.
It counts. It counts. But yeah, it's. I think it's going to be a really cool piece. And what's exciting is some of the people who we interviewed. So the actors are acting like these people, doing monologues that these people said. And some of the people are going to be there. So it's a little nerve-wracking, you know?
Oh, no, that's cool.
If you're the person.
Oh, man, I wish I knew about this. I would love to have played James Peoples.
Yeah, like if you're the person, you know, playing, or Early Harrell, or he's another person we interviewed. You know, you're playing these people and they're sitting there and they're watching you play them.
Gosh. Listen, the next time you're doing something like that, let Christina and me know, because we would totally do something like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you guys got to come out. Like I said, June 12th, it's pay what you can. All you have to do is you get on our website, you know, www.passagetheater.org. You just need to reserve your seats, because we're doing social distancing. So we're putting kind of people, sitting them in pods, if you will. So if you come with your group of four, you got to stay with your group of four, and we'll so and the Mill Hill Park Amphitheater is not huge, so we're making sure people have their reservations so that we can see how many people we can fit in. So you have to make your reservation, but it's pay what you can. We will of course accept any small donations that people are willing to
do
give.
You pay there, or do you pay online?
You pay there. You can donate there. You can also donate online as well, just by clicking donate. But when you make your reservation, you can either pay when you come up, or you can just donate online. It's really more of a donation situation.
Gotcha. All right, cool. That's fantastic. All right, great.
Yeah, so we hope to see everybody. It's right after we set it up, so it's right after the Mill Hill Garden Tour. So the Mill Hill Garden Tour ends at 5, and conveniently, our reading starts at 5.
Right, that's interesting. That also coincides with Taze Trenton.
Okay, so it's like there's so many activities. So June 12th is the day that people need to get out into the city of Trenton.
That's it.
A lot's going on.
There's a lot of stuff happening this weekend, like 5 things we were just talking about on the air here.
Yeah, so, you know, and let us know. Come out and see us. We'd be so happy to see you and everybody else.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Ryan, for being on real quick, and thanks for answering the phone.
Of course. Thanks for calling.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, well, there you go. Ryan Dominguez, everybody.
So that is coming up. But also next week is the Mill Hill Garden Tour. That begins about noontime.
That's fun.
You can purchase tickets for that online.
Why don't they just Google Mill Hill Garden Tour tickets?
Yep, and that will work.
That'll work.
And you can pick them up at Artworks, the same place that Taze Trenton is going to be held.
Oh, really?
On that day, yeah.
So, wait. If I come out on Friday at 11 o'clock,
right.
I go over to Artworks, I get my Taze Trenton tickets, I could also get my Mill Hill Garden Tour tickets.
My guess is that they will let me do that for them. They'd be very happy.
Your guess.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's a little bit of a gamble.
Yeah, they actually were inspirational at us doing Taze Trenton this year. They said,
okay.
You got to do it on the same day. Come on.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say you'll be able to get tickets to both of those things.
All right. So that's going on the Saturday, and that's a great tour.
So we have Taze Trenton next weekend. We have this play in the amphitheater next weekend. We have the Mill Hill Garden Tour next weekend. What else is going on next weekend?
They're opening up the Iron Truss Bridge that goes across the Assapink.
Oh, right, the creek.
That's been under reconstruction or upgrading.
Now, that's not the DOT thing that
that's
we had
not,
John Hatch on.
Not
the
DOT
not that.
Thing.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
This is a little bit further in.
Gotcha.
And so that's been closed for about 6 or 8 months, but it's going to be reopened that day. And over another place that I deal with is something called the Mercer Cemetery at Trenton.
The Mercer Cemetery, yes.
Which is right across from the train station.
That's right.
The transit center.
What's going on there?
We are opening that up for the day to receive an award of a grant from the New Jersey Historic Trust.
Okay.
We're going to be doing a preservation plan for that facility so that we can make it open again and accessible to anybody who wants to walk through.
I see.
Or do research, things like that.
Okay.
So we are excited about that.
That's
so all those
cool.
things are all going on a single day in Trenton.
Wow, man.
So
a lot going on.
A lot's going
on. People are freaking out. They can't even know what to do with themselves.
Hey, and it doesn't end there. Well, freaking out in Trenton never ends, but, you know.
Well, freaking out in a good way.
In a good way. That's right.
All right, Bernie Mac. I'm going to kick you out of here now because we have Jacques Howard coming in.
All right, fair enough.
All right, sound good?
It was great fun. Thanks for for allowing me to come in and talk about some of the things I really love doing.
It's very exciting.
And I hope to see lots and lots of people out for Taze Trenton on the 11th, 12th, and 13th of June.
I have a strong feeling that you will.
And go to TazeTrenton.com.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Yeah, Trenton Waves. That's about it. Trenton Waves, we're back. How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay.
What's with the scarf?
It's part of my ensemble.
You look very cold.
No, it was a little chilly in here, but I like it. If the whole summer could stay like this, I'd be happy.
You say that every time it gets a little chilly. You say if the whole summer could stay like this, we're good to go.
I don't want it to get hot.
Anything exciting?
Yes.
Like?
Travel.
Okay.
That's like...
That's it?
Yeah,
travel.
That's big. I love that. Like, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 trips lined up.
We do have 4 trips lined up.
I know.
What is that all about?
And I'm looking to book another one to Thailand.
Right. Yeah, because COVID put the
kibosh on the last one.
Last year. We were supposed to go in March of 2020.
Yes, so all booked and it went.
And then we got a refund on the tickets. And
Right, blah, blah, blah. So we got to redo that one.
Got to redo that. Well, we have Podcast Movement coming up in Nashville, Tennessee, August 3rd to the 6th. Get your tickets. If you do want to go, I'm going to say this much. Just go to 2021.podcastmovement.com.
Nashville.
And go to Nashville.
Gonna I'm go excited.
Check out some, we're going line dancing.
I'll do that. Sure. When in Rome.
Well, we're going to Nashville, though.
I know.
They don't do line dancing in Rome. Last time I checked.
You know the saying, right?
I know the saying.
Thank you. Good. Okay.
Well, that's exciting. So a lot of us are going from the new parts of the
Maybe
podcast.
Maybe I'll get a pair of cowboy boots before I go.
Right. Because
give a plug to Ariat Cowboy Boots. Hey.
Ariat.
I heard you guys are the best cowboy boots out there.
I don't
so
know that
comfortable.
We need to be plugging them yet. We got,
why not?
We got not dime one from them.
That's okay. Send me boots.
All right. She'll work for boots.
I'll work for boots.
Listen, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous today. I'm a little really? Intimidated. Yeah. On my own show, I'm a little intimidated.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I feel comfortable.
This guy that
I
we
know.
Have today, this has been a long
He's
time.
He's kind of like a legend.
What do you mean kind of? He is a legend.
Okay.
He's like the voice of Trenton.
I hear him sighing.
I know he's sighing, yeah. He's that false humility nonsense.
He's like, oh, God.
I hate when someone, they know they're good. And they, like, you know
he's
you're
being
good,
humble.
Right?
Humble.
I get it. But it's almost like he's annoyed.
Anyway, without further ado.
So he, no, we got more ado.
Oh.
Because this has been like almost a year.
Oh, no.
I think. Right? Yep. More than a year. It was before COVID.
Some things are worth waiting for.
I've been trying to catch this fish for the longest time. I finally got the right bait in Will Fosk.
Yes.
Will Fosk had a couple of drinks with the Mill Hill Saloon. He goes, hey, come over here. I'm not going to say his name yet. He goes, I need you to be on Trenton Waves. And I'm like, oh, my God,
why does
dude.
Will sound like Seinfeld?
I don't know. Who are these people? I need this guy on your show. What
the
is a podcast?
Thing from Will Fosky.
Yeah. No, Will's more like, yo.
That's your impression.
That's all I got. That I and know. Denzel Washington. Oh, you want to be a podcaster now?
It's training day.
Training day.
Training
okay.
day.
All right. I think we have enough ado.
I think so. Let's
so without
on.
Any further.
Yes.
Ado. Podcast here. Buckle up because it's going to be quite a ride. We have a lot to talk to this guy about.
I know.
I hope we can cover it all.
We can.
The one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, the voice of Trenton himself,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Jacques Howard is here with us today. Hello,
yay!
Jacques.
Yippee.
Look at him.
Thank
wow.
you. Thank you very much. I appreciate all those kind words and so forth.
Yeah.
And thanks for having me on your show. Appreciate that as well.
You're very welcome.
But I'm really, man, that's just not my thing. It's not
that's
really
not
about,
thing.
It's not
He's
really
so
about
cool.
me.
It's He's
just,
too cool.
It's not about you. You're a guest on the show. Of course it's about you. What are you talking about?
Let him finish.
That doesn't make any sense. Go ahead, Jacques.
Finish.
And that's often why. And that's often why I don't. I don't get interviewed much.
Really?
Because really, man, it's really about me. For the longest time, I've always had this mindset that you know I play a part in what goes on in my world,
mm-hmm.
and wherever I have a contact, that is my world.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to be someone who took the perspective of, hey, I'm part of the team.
Okay.
being part of the team, you know, I know there's different players on and different levels on the team, right. But I've always been more interested in deferring and making others around me bigger and better.
What team are you specifically talking about right now?
Oh, man, right now I'm talking about the human team.
That's a big team.
Yeah, yeah, and so, and I don't want to get into like the particulars of that because I do want to drill down and talk on Trenton and answer your questions.
Okay.
The human thing is I think that most of what we see the ills in society, regardless of where we are economically or what we're talking about, we just have this problem where some humans think they're better than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why we can't get beyond that. Oftentimes people say, you know, it's something inside of us. But I think that if we really had the willpower to do it, we could do it.
Mm.
And when I say do it, I mean, we've done some transformative things just in my lifetime. Think about space travel.
Right.
That's pretty frequent now. Those types of things, we've pretty much nearly eradicated drunk driving in America.
Really?
Yeah, basically.
Have we really?
Oh, wow.
No, when you really think about it, when you think about the deaths that occur with drunk driving now compared to when there was no laws at all, I'd like to know what that number is.
Yeah. I'm sure that figures out.
And even
out
thinking
there.
About folks who smoke cigarettes.
Oh, that's definitely gone down.
That is definitely down.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the whole cigarette thing is down, but cannabis is up.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that, by the way.
For sure, for sure.
Because I know you're heavily involved with the whole cannabis movement thing in Jersey now that it's legalized.
Nationally.
And, oh, really? Oh, so you're involved nationally.
Yeah, well, actually, I should say that via Black Cannabis, it's an international effort. We're always in constant talks with anyone within that longitude and latitude area where this plant can grow who wants to talk about cannabis.
Okay.
And when we think about leaving the African continent and the opportunities that are there to grow hemp and cannabis, et cetera, it behooves all of us to really think, hey, what are we really doing with our investment?
So you're saying there's an opportunity here with this?
Oh, huge. When I first started looking into cannabis, and I didn't want to talk about it later, before I became part of Black Cannabis, meaning the voice of Black Cannabis, hosting Black Cannabis 365, it was estimated that the industry was going to be about $25 billion.
Right.
They're talking upwards of way higher than that now.
Wow.
And we have to factor in that New Jersey,
more
where
than
we are.
More than 25 billion?
Yes.
Billion with a B.
A B. And when you think about this from where we are in New Jersey, between Philadelphia and New York, it's an amazing opportunity.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I know we're going to talk about it later. I'm just like trying to think. Like, what are your goals then as far as like to maximize this?
I have to stay true to who I am. And I think that that's really what I encourage everyone to do. Get in where you fit in.
Right.
And for me, I do my best when I'm connecting human beings with other human beings. Verifying relationships, building relationships. That's when I'm at my best. The more that I meet people, the more access that I get, the more opportunities I have to connect people with things.
In your journey of life, what has brought you to Trenton, New Jersey?
Well, I had no choice. I was born here.
Another one.
You'd be surprised how many people. That's the answer.
Yeah.
Especially recently.
Well, I mean, drop a dime on your listeners. So with that, so I was born here in Trenton, like, you know, many
years.
People.
I thought you were going to say many years.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I thought it was going down for many years ago.
I thought you were making a joke.
How dare you? That's my line.
I was being sarcastic.
Yeah. I'm in my 50s.
Okay.
And I'm proud of that.
Well, I'm older than you, so don't feel bad.
Okay. Well, you look great. Fantastic. And by the way, I like your scarf too.
Thank you. Good. Thank you.
And maybe when we're off the air, I'll have a conversation with you about that particular tie that you have.
No, see, that's the kind of thing we're going to have on the air.
Well, if you can give me ideas, I'm all for that. Yes.
Sure.
I know you're a fashion guru too. So.
Make sure you remind me and I'll come back to that.
Okay.
But I was born in Trenton and grew up in Ewing Township. And I grew up in Ewing Township in what I call a village in a very rural part of Ewing.
Really?
Very close to Lawrence Township, Ewingville, and Eggert's Crossing Road. There was a tract of homes there.
Oh, near Eggert's Crossing. Okay.
Yep. So myself, my family, where I was the youngest of seven, we lived two doors away from my great aunt and three doors away from my maternal grandparents. Mm. My mom was one of 13.
Wow.
13.
So at any given time, there were dozens of people around, you know, whether it was family, friends, acquaintances, et cetera. And remember, that was a very rural era at that time. There was no traffic light, you know, there were sidewalks, and none of that stuff.
Nice.
And how long ago was that exactly?
That was through the 70s. William L. Antal Elementary School, and it changed to middle school when I started going there. But that school was built in the, I guess, the either late 50s or early 60s, mm-hmm. which all indications now would say that that was all part of the white flight from Trenton. So I consider myself to be indigenous to Ewing Township. So when my friends who moved in the new houses and the new neighborhoods, they were, again, reflecting the whole colonial mindset by moving into my neighborhood. And they got the sidewalks, they got the paved roads, they got the street lights.
See, I like the rural. I like it all, what you first described. That sounds like heaven to me. I don't want development here. I want it to stay like the country.
Right, exactly.
Here's my thought about that, right? At the same time, I'm still connected to my property out there, or my family's property out there, or my sister, Michelle. There's a natural progression, right? That's what we're supposed to do as human beings. We're supposed to get better. Do we want to use 1950s plumbing? Probably not.
No. You know? I agree.
So where do we get to this space where we're picking and choosing? You know, and I think with the picking and choosing is where, through great marketing, things that I do, things mm-hmm. that, you know, you guys do in Trenton Waves, is we set a tone and we create a marketplace. And in that marketplace, we're actually feeding people to do things, whether or not we fully recognize it or understand it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that if we're not encouraging evolution as human beings, I think that we are, what we're doing is subtly, especially those in media, we are subtly dumbing down people.
That's a very interesting take.
Right. I've been in marketing and fashion and art for a very long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I was looking around, checking out the colors. And again, I think your space is nice. You've done great space utilization. I love it. The colors and things of that nature, even the fact that, you know, the colors that I'm wearing today, mm-hmm. you know, right. someone made that decision to say, this is going to be the color we go with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of what the color shade blue is, this mm-hmm. is what we're going to do. And I think we've gotten to a space where that power and that knowledge is not recognized because it's not that important. It's clothes. You know, those people, let the artsy folks do that. But no, when you think about it, man, clothes are one of the most powerful commodities that we have.
Wow.
Nowhere in our society, any society, can you walk around without clothes on.
No. A nudist beach?
Yeah, okay, if you do that, you get, depending on where it is.
You still got to get dressed to leave it. You got to leave to...
There's no self-sustaining...
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm with you. I'm all about, you go out into the world, you see the world sees you. I get that. Yeah. I can't go out in my pajama pants to the store wearing slippers. I can't do it.
I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't think that's what he's saying.
No, I'm just echoing how important clothes are.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That's what I mean. Like, do you not have any reflective surfaces in your house?
Also, clothes are an extension of your personality, too.
Yes, indeed. I'd love to banter, man. You guys, that's really good stuff.
This is how we are at home.
This is good. This is all day, every day.
This is not an act.
Yeah, we have a show in our house.
Oh, my goodness.
It's called Our Life.
So what I like about that is you guys have a marketplace where no matter what, your true personality and who you are is your show.
Okay.
And I think that's awesome because I think a lot of folks do this, but they do it.
What does that mean?
You guys are living your life. This is it.
It's a show. This is our life. You know, like.
It's just our life with microphones.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Right.
Now, to flip that, the reason why I like that is that that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that people see me do and talk about,
mm-hmm.
that is really my life.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
See, that's cool. I like
so,
that.
So it's just a matter. I'm satisfying my soul so well. Big mm-hmm. shout out to the song by Marley. But literally, I am in a space where everything I do, I feel as though I'm supposed to be doing it.
That's cool. That's rare, I think.
It's extremely rare. I really have to give big shout out to my wife, Vanessa, and our son, DJ. And a big shout out to the trans community. DJ is transitioning from a female to male and about to go to college.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, about to be leaving for school.
Oh, wow. And, cool.
I'm not going to say. I'm going to let him take care of that.
Okay.
He's a brilliant, brilliant human being. This crop of young people are very encouraging.
Howard University. How cool would that be? Because his last name is Howard. Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, you know what, though, man? The way I grew up, I would probably discourage it just because of that. I'm serious.
Why? Your last name is Howard. You got a great name.
No, my last name was given to me.
Oh.
And more than likely,
yeah,
the circumstances probably weren't good.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And I want to throw this out there, too, for the historical folks out there. Recognize that many African Americans, blacks, can only go but so far to learn their history. Think about the power that others have that can trace, my fourth generation in Italy or Ireland or Spain, those kinds of things. Think about the power that's in that. When I literally just found out, you know, when my father died, that had a whole nother family.
Really?
And that's a rampant thing. Wow. So just think about that power in that. That's why it behooves us to think differently. I can't be patient. I can't tell an eight-year-old kid, try harder next time and we'll see. Especially in this environment where we are in Trenton.
Elaborate on that.
Well, here in Trenton, we have systemic issues and problems. Public education, crime, poverty, environment, water, all these things. What about the generations of children? That's all they've known. What kind of an impact will that have on whatever they do for the rest of their lives?
Right.
Now, when you peel that onion back and you start asking questions and you start realizing, okay, there's different things. Okay, redlining and racism and capitalism and side deals and all those things, right? You start saying, well, at what point does it stop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it really a political thing? Is it a particular party? Is it a handful of people, so to speak, that are controlling this? Is it just a system? And a lot of those questions I don't have answers to, but I want to talk to the people who have an idea and can show me, hey, this is what I've seen. This is what I know. This is the work I've done. This is the work that I do. One is a book that I encourage folks to read, and I don't want to give out too much information about it. Obituary for a Hometown, written by Dr. Judith Fioriello. I believe that's the pronunciation of her name.
That sounds like an interesting title.
It is very interesting. It's a quick read too, but it speaks specifically to the East Trenton portion of New Jersey, Coalport, over in that area where the police station is and some of the systemic problems that have gone on there and still do. Spinning this around back to what I do is that is the area of Amtico Square where we're going to have the skate park built, which we just got approval from the city of Trenton.
Oh, very nice.
So we've moved to the next phase where we're going to be having the architecture and the surveying and all the behind the scenes work done. But this is a huge step. There's renderings that are out publicly. You can also look for the timeline that I've put out. We've been working on this, groups of us, homegrown Grasstops folks, since 2013. It's really awesome to see this start to move in this
direction.
Can people
find that online?
Yeah, for sure. If you go to, there's a couple of sites. If you want to stay connected to anything happening in biking, you want to visit TrentonCyclingRevolution.org. Big shout out to them. I'm the current president this year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, TrentonCyclingRevolution.org. There's also the Facebook page, Friends of Amtico Square. Also, freedomnj.org, which is the indoor skate park. Big shout out to Jake McNichols and the crew over there.
Oh,
but they're working in conjunction. We're working together in this. And also Capital City Rollers, which is also on Facebook.
Okay. I know where the police station is.
Sure.
Is that where Frank Whedon's factory used to be?
Yes, over in that area. So if you're North Clinton, so just imagine, if you imagine from Olden Avenue, okay, to basically Perry Street. That whole area, probably most recognizable on Olden Avenue are the murals and some of the dilapidated warehouses. Okay, so that area headed towards the police station.
Gotcha.
In the transit area.
Mm-hmm.
So that runs right along the canal.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a flood zone.
So
when the original concept came together, it was we were looking for a location to do a skate park, and we thought we had something based upon past renderings at one of the parks in East Trent near Chambers Street. Near Champs.
Okay.
It didn't work out. The space just wasn't going to make sense. But then we realized through a connection we had in the city that this was a potential space.
Mm-hmm.
So we started busting our hump, you know, met with the people in the neighborhood. I happen to have some good community organizer friends over there. And Pearlene, shout out to her. And we talked. We presented the concept to the neighborhood. The neighborhood was fully on board. And big shout out to the East Trenton Collaborative over there. Mm-hmm. That was very helpful. And now Caitlin Fair, who's running that, shout out to her. And we did a presentation to the executive director and board, two executive directors prior. And by the way, I probably have more time doing what I do here in the city than many of the executive directors in here who are controlling the money.
Ooh.
His face?
Yeah.
I love that.
With that being said, I'm going to back up and I want to make sure we cover this. This area has been mistreated for decades. I mean,
now
if you look
say
at
this
some,
area, you're talking about Trenton itself?
East Trenton area. So just look up Coalport. Okay. Coalport. And Taylor Pork Rolls over there. But this area is very frustrating what was done. And it wasn't just to people of color. It was literally just this whole neighborhood. Like, sorry, guys, you're all poor, so you got to bounce. And to see that the current situation that this area is still in is very disheartening. So for them to feel as though we want to provide something awesome to our children, provide them equitable access to something like skateboarding and bike polo and poppy soccer and new basketball courts and greenery and walking space and rock climbing walls and a pavilion in this one space is just off the charts. Absolutely amazing. So I'm stoked about it.
I'm excited. Very cool. I love hearing stuff like this. This is so good. Now, is that your neighborhood?
No, I live in South Ward.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're in the South Ward. Yeah. We're in the South Ward.
Franklin Park second.
Okay. What are you doing in Franklin Park? You doing any civic work over there?
One of the cool things about it is since it's my neighborhood and we've got this great community association, folks are, they know what I do, so they're often just, they're already engaged. So they're just, hey, what's this? How do I connect with this? So it's almost like a next level. So in addition to doing the grass tops and the grunt work, so to speak, these are folks who just, hey, Jock, I have this question, and it's a quick answer.
I was just going to say, he must be the guy that, like, he's in the neighborhood. Anybody has a question, they go, where's Jock?
Right.
Like, about anything, when garbage pickup is, who this, you know, the council person's going to be, who should we be voting for, you know, that kind of thing. Well, get Jacques. Jacques's that guy.
And again, I think because a lot of our neighbors are engaged, those questions, they come up periodically, but not really.
Because they're already in the
They're in the know, so to speak, or they're already doing their research, or they know, okay, look, I'm going to the city's website. Wait a minute, the city doesn't have a website, or the website's down?
Yeah.
Do you know that the website's down?
See, that's my point. He's still going to be that guy. When the rubber meets the road at the end of the day, they're going to run stuff past Jock. Even with his new look, because he was never sporting that beard like that before. When we first met him, he was totally bald like me and not a hair on his face except for his eyebrows. Next time I see him, he has a full beard and a head of hair. Well, sort of. A half a head of hair and a full beard.
I think the first time I met you was at Cards Against Humanity.
That's what it was.
Yeah, Cards Against Humanity.
You know, and big shout, and you're right, absolutely. And it was enjoyable that time as well.
Of course.
Shout out, though, to Classics, right?
Yes.
That Trenton's got this amazing bookstore.
Oh, my God.
Our family is very close to the Maywar family, and it's just so awesome to be able to support and watch it continue to thrive and to continue to grow. But also to be able to have that kind of service.
Yes.
I mean, how many times have, like, you had a thought about something and it was a simple email or a text and it was like, yes, no, let me check. And then before you know it, okay, well, by the way, I got a stack here for you. You're going to come by and pick them up. And it's like, wow.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just awesome. And I think that the fact that our libraries have closed, I understand the budgeting and everything because of it and some of the politics behind it. But a big shout out to Classics and also to the main library for the work that they're doing. That is why myself and others started Library Boxes of Trenton. To fill the gap and to put these adopted library boxes into different neighborhoods so that those neighborhoods could get a feel for what was going on in their neighborhood.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The idea behind it to be an adoptive model is because people need to take some responsibility of the stuff that they take on.
Right.
And I appreciate the folks who made comments about why it was not a sustaining model, but stuff being sustainable has a lot to do with the people who take on the responsibility of doing
it.
So if someone was to adopt, or if a organization or a school adopt a library box, the responsibility is for them to take that.
Well, they have a vested interest. How are those things working out?
Well, I know that we've got 15 that are still out. There are people who are still looking to get more, and I'm partnered with a couple of different organizations that are waiting to donate as many books as possible. But again, it's a project that was started with the intent of it being as low cost as possible, or no cost. We had a lot of these things around. They were becoming trash bins, bins, and some say they still are trash bins. They would also become, you know, spaces to, you know, transition things.
Right.
But the idea was for it to cost little or no money. So with some funding from I Am Trenton to Classics Books, we got the first crop of books donated, worked with Code Trenton, a bunch of local artists, about, I guess it was a total of about 18 different artists. We got some seed money from Bart's Books, who also made a donation as well. So we paid the artists, et cetera, and then they were adopted. There are still some out. Champs is one of the donation drop-offs and pickup sites as well for books. And also houses the original Elbot, which is upcycled metal, which is pretty dope. And a big shout out to Wills Kinsley, who made that. And then Classics. They can always go to Classics and get free books there as well.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And kids get free books at Classics. Isn't that true?
Yeah. It's also part of the Trenton Children's and Books. Okay. Kids and Books, something of that nature. But it's been operating for a long time.
Yeah.
This is, it's very similar to what we're doing with library boxes.
If someone wanted to adopt a library box, what would they have to do?
Well, at this point, I would say just sit tight. Where we're at now is we need some creatives or some folks who want to fund some creatives to build about 30 of these boxes.
Oh, okay.
And these boxes can be as creative as they want. The main thing is that they have to be able to house books and other reading materials, and they have to be able to be weatherproof.
Right.
And they can make them however they want. In fact, I would love to talk to whomever who wants to come up with some of those ideas. We've got people from Pennsylvania over in Yardley and Bucks County who want to adopt them. We've got folks in outside of Mercer County who want to adopt them. And again, I've got a partnership with magazineliteracy.org, which is an international organization that freely donates any magazines to anyone who needs them for reading literacy programs.
Very cool.
All right, you hear that out there? We need donations for these boxes to be put up in the areas and adopted.
More importantly, I would say make sure you go over to the Facebook page, Library Boxes of Trenton.
Okay.
And there, put your information in there. But I don't want to say that it's a donation because it's not a 501c3.
And I know
people are curious about that. And that's another thing. Trenton has well over 1,500 501c3s. It's not everyone needs to start a nonprofit.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. So something like this, it was started, it's been going for almost, like, 7-8 years now. It's still functioning. It's sustainable. Now, some people in the neighborhood, hey, if you're an artist and you want to create something cool and you got some stuff laying around your studio, build a cool library box.
Yeah, right. Why not?
And then set it out front of your studio and put books in there and then join the network. Doesn't cost you a penny.
And we could do that.
Yeah, anybody can.
Like a Newport City library box out there.
Yeah, I love it.
It would be fantastic.
Not out there. It would have to be somewhere where people actually pass.
What does that mean?
Because it's very quiet here.
Well, people walk through here all the time.
All right.
From Tracy's Kitchen, from Base Camp, and from Artworks, from DMV. Because they think this is part like an extended parking lot for DMV. I'm always chasing them out. Might as well read a book while you're here.
Or while they're waiting online.
Yeah, come and read a book. Take a book, leave a book. They can start bringing. You know what? Maybe that's not a good idea. Actually, no, I'm thinking about it.
People ask me about this, because, you know, I don't know how much you folks do with nonprofits, but this is a free one to you guys who are looking to be community organizers and work with nonprofits and so forth. Anytime you're going to do a presentation to anyone more than the executive director or the person that you have the connection with, just know there's going to be that one person, at least one, that is going to nitpick and come up with the strangest, most peculiar inquiries.
Yes.
And have enough to back it up. So just be prepared for that.
Yeah.
So with the library boxes, and that one's free. So when the website is launched, jacques-howard.com, you'll be able to jump on there. We'll have a 50-minute conversation. We'll get those for free. After that, you're going to have to pay. Because, you know, as things grow and progress, we all have to grow and progress.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And what that means, as I level up, it behooves everyone else level up too.
He's going to level up. Oh, so. He's going to level up. Great. Where does that put me?
Right next to me, man. Aww. What you talking about? Listen, bro.
I can't keep up with this guy.
I'm very much a person of faith. And I know that a lot of folks have their own perspective of that. And I'd love to chat with folks about theirs. And just let's make sure it's a fair conversation, man. I don't want you yelling and screaming and trying to proselytize me and all the other stuff, too.
Right.
And I'm not going to do that to you. Yeah. That's just not how my faith works for me. So because of that, I think that we have to pull back and really consider, man, what we are in this space and who we are as humans in general.
Mm. And that is back to the very first thing you were saying. about humans.
It's a way of life.
Mm-hmm. But I want to also go back to what we were talking.
No control of those.
It's okay. That's good.
My principles here.
Don't base your life on me, bro. Nobody. Don't let my convictions be your convictions.
Dude, please. It's all good. I'm like this on every episode.
I know you are, and I appreciate that. But I'm saying for anybody out there, because you don't know who hears this stuff.
This is true.
Folks, listen. Don't let my convictions be your convictions.
Right.
And on top of that, don't let anyone else's convictions be your convictions. Mm-hmm. I think if we spend a little bit more time trying to figure out our own ish, boy, I'm a big fan of therapy too, y'all. Whatever your therapy is.
Yeah.
Get therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever that might be.
Go. Mm-hmm. Go and get it.
I was in therapy for 3 years. Group therapy.
Only three years?
I know. I beat all the odds. They thought at least 10 for something to stick. 3 years was one of the best experiences of my life. Group therapy. I wound up running the group. Seriously. My therapist said, you know what, Frank, why don't you just run the group tonight? Because she didn't feel like it. Because I was always challenging people's like processes and their thinking and like, well, what are you doing? Because I don't like waste time. Mm. I'm going to be in a group and this guy's out to lunch half the time. Mm-hmm. I don't mean Chuck. I'm talking about some guy. Yeah, in my
people
group.
In the group. I get it.
It's like, dude, why are you wasting my time? Right. Why are you even here? But you know, he talked a little bit about your scarf before.
I know, but I wanted to talk about something else.
Oh, all right, go ahead. I want to get back to that scarf.
I can give you quickly about the scarf.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Everyone, I think, has different peaks and valleys in their life, right?
Yeah.
There was a point in time where I'm still trying to figure out what this period of time was and what was the basis behind it. But I used to imagine when people wore their scarf like that, if I could throw them.
Like grab it here and then twirl me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
If you could throw what?
Like this is like a handle and then it could... And then go... Whew,
okay.
Like that.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why would you think that?
That's why you go to therapy.
Oh, is that why you go to therapy?
He just said he wanted to wear a while.
I have no idea where that came from. But yeah, it's really a joke. And at one time I was much more into fitness and things like that than I am. And it was just weird space, man.
Mm-mm. That's all right. It's all good.
It's like imagining trying to run someone over.
Yes.
I'm not saying that was me.
No.
Okay.
No.
Someone told me that. Actually, it told you that.
I just want to say who it was. I won't say his name.
It was a pastor.
It was a pastor. Could you imagine? A pastor said this.
And he wanted to run down his secretary.
Right. And then actually did it without her there.
Right.
In the parking lot.
Acted it out.
Hit the gas and everything. And I'm like, back dude.
Up. Hey, here's something else, folks. This is another PSA. Mm-hmm. Please recognize that even as awesome as your faith leader is, or you feel they are human.
Right.
Just like you.
Right. Mm.
Because if that wasn't the case...
Right.
Then all the faith communities would not have the same problems
right.
that the rest of the world has. Again, back to the point, we are all humans.
Correct.
How has he not been on this show earlier? This is great stuff.
But I want to get to the black cannabis.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
So when I had, I guess, really recognized that I had some health issues, and was in therapy, et cetera. There was some prescribed medications, and which I've come to realize are traditional things.
Mm-hmm.
And big shout out to my wife, Vanessa, who was, very like, yeah, this ain't good kind of thing. You know, here, look at these side effects
right.
and look at you and very clear. And I'm like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. That, started this whole mindset about, what are you doing with your life? So with that being said, I was looking, trying to figure out what it was. I was always someone who was interested in exercise and I worked out and ate, what I consider to be good. But I felt I had to level that up a little bit. So right. I started paying more attention to some different things. And, cannabis was still that thing that it was, it was happening in other parts of the country. I was big into it when I was younger, but war on drugs happened and I pulled away from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, I'm not going to go to jail. I'm not going to lose my certifications and, mm-hmm. Because of cannabis, because of smoking some weed and stuff like that. But again, after, being diagnosed and having prescribed medicines and then seeing the adverse effects of those and also seeing how it's affected just so much in society, and even being shown like how much it's affected even like my family in different things of that nature. And simultaneously, I was reintroduced to it, you know, periodically from hanging out with friends and stuff like that, just occasionally smoking. Then I started having some conversations with Phil Charles. And many folks may know Phil Charles, also known as Flip, from over at NJ Weedman's spot. He was one of the ones who helped Weed Man get the spot open across from City Hall many years ago. So we started talking, and he was asking me some questions about, you know, civic engagement, getting events, permits, and things like that, just bouncing ideas off of me. And we became really good friends. And
You and Flip?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And he said, look, you know, I want to talk to you about cannabis. And from that point, you know, we just started having really honest conversations about the history of the plant. I interviewed him as well as Jason Arnold, who is also part of the Weed Man's place. Just started doing more research. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things I looked at as far as a video goes, and I encourage folks to this day to do this, is to go to YouTube and Google marijuana and racism. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable that to this day, this is still happening. I mean, the president of the United States, he commissioned a study and disproved everything that he was even saying. But they said, no, we're not going to even go with the study. We're just going to continue to move forward.
Really?
Yeah. Besides that, there's recorded conversations that they wanted to use cannabis to, you know, hippies and blacks, et cetera. There's so much information out now about the history that took place in the late 60s and early 70s that centered around racism and fighting civil rights. And that leads me into the whole thing about social justice and the faith community. At this point, we cannot have a conversation about human beings evolving without having a conversation about this plant. Number one, it's indigenous. So it grows all over the world in this longitude and latitude plane. Right. We know it's got health benefits. If you're a person of faith and you're a faith leader and this can help your congregation and you're saying no, and you're probably saying no because someone lied to you and probably because someone used it for politics. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, with the supposed billions of dollars that is going to be generated off of this, they don't want to have the money go through people of color.
Wow.
Even locally, right? Even locally, you think about this. You would think a place like Trenton, capital city, historic problems with poverty, crime, et cetera. You would think that that would be one of the main focuses for everyone here in this community saying, oh, this is the golden or the green ticket.
Right.
City council. Mayor, get on board, design the exact documentation and legalization for what cannabis is in Trenton and tax it whatever you want.
Right, yeah.
Whatever you want, because the laws are written that the municipality can make the difference, make the decisions.
That's awesome.
So tax it whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Get everyone in there. Mm-hmm. So what? Make Trenton Amsterdam.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Have everybody who wants to be a part of it can be a part of it.
Right.
The cream will rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And if you have it set up properly where you say, hey, look, maybe everything has to be done through a person of digital currency. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We need progressive thinkers.
Right.
And I feel as though that we're trying to fix a 20 plus problem with a 1940s mentality.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like the Flintstones building stuff for the Jetsons. That's what
So for example, big shout out to Leo Bridgewater, who's also—
I was just going to ask about him.
Yeah, Leo Leo is also, and also part of Black Cannabis. So let's the Black Cannabis Crusaders, Phil, Charles, Flip, and Phil Dumais, who are the two main folks. And then Leo Bridgewater is part of it. I'm one of the partners as well. We've got some other folks who are doing some different things with us.
I'm kind of shocked that Ed Fortune's not like really
front
there. What's that all about? He was on the show too.
Yeah, so we use the term Black Cannabis Family because in the space and in my life, like, there's no competition. I'm not in any competition. I'm not part of anything that wants to be a part of any competition. Right. Mm-hmm. There's no need. I can talk to you about that reasoning behind that anyway. But with the cannabis space, Black Cannabis, we want this to be a hub. Mm-hmm. We want this to be a hub. There's enough room for everybody, everybody to get involved in this. Literally, when I think about this, I think Trenton could design legislation, have it be a green rush, benefit everyone who's here now,
right?
Set a timeline. Hey, here's a threshold. You got to prove you're a resident from here. Bam.
Right.
You could pay those folks dividends back. You could redo the infrastructure. You could do the master plan,
mm-hmm.
and then document all of it and sell it and go to other places and install it.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's yeah. right.
It would be, but we have, I would say, leadership that wants to do things. And when I say leadership, I'm not just talking about mayor and council.
Okay.
I think that we have leadership that doesn't think progressively.
Right. Mm. Like old fashioned thinking.
Yeah.
Or very in the box thinking.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a quick
on some boards too, it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a quick example, talking about cannabis. So mm-hmm. I was on a planning board okay. call. Like I'm not even part of it. I'm just on the call. Leo Bridgewater's on it. And he's one of the key figures. And the planning board, you know, their normal planning board meetings, they went through it and they wanted to have a community conversation about sure. cannabis.
Right.
One of the council members came on and told everyone that they know nothing about cannabis, but that the city should get involved in hemp. I don't think anyone would think one person would know about cannabis, but not hemp. Additionally, it makes me wonder if there's some potential side deals
right.
or things like that that are coming down the pipe.
I'm sure there are. Absolutely.
Now, again, if we think about this realistically, there would be no need for side deals.
Right.
There's enough that everyone right. could benefit. I mean, literally everyone.
Right.
And for the folks who want to talk about, you know, legalization and the people who've broken the laws and all those other things, there's plenty of people who have done some really bad things who aren't in jail for as long as a little bit of weed.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I'm sure that's even locally.
But yeah. they're not thinking like that because it's old school, and old school didn't work.
No. Well, that's because, things loop back around to this whole idea of the human race. We have a lot of people who think that they're better than other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, those people are in positions of power, and they look at others differently and use that as an opportunity to incarcerate masses of people and not care mm-hmm. what it does
mm-hmm.
to pick a person of color up and take them to juvie as opposed to taking them home, or knowing that the one black kid in the group of white kids is getting off lucky because he's with the white kids, you know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it still happens. I mean, mm-hmm. and I think we want to have the hard conversations, but I think that we're beyond those hard conversations. I think people like myself and many others around were talking about hard conversations a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And we've got a whole generation of people who've grown up during that time. We're beyond the conversations. We need to start designing what we want this to look like. And shout out to the Trenton 250 Master Plan. And I appreciate being part of, you know, the South Ward representation of that. But that should be rammed down everybody's throat.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
No one should know at this point or not know what the Trenton 250 Master Plan is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's, it does, it, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It's like enough talk. Let's now do something. Let's actually put plans into place. You know,
and you know, I don't want to be disrespectful and go over top of that, but it's not even plans. We mm-hmm. we have plenty of plans.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even that. Now it's just let's just do it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
See? All right. Agenda, itinerary. There you go.
What?
I just realized the difference between agenda and itinerary.
We had a conversation with the difference between an agenda and an itinerary. Yeah.
So the agenda is just a list of stuff you want to get done, and the itinerary is actually doing it.
Like, this is where we're going to be going.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway,
so
I want to now, on a lighter note, maybe not, but let's talk a little bit about fashion.
Cool.
Who says that's a lighter note?
Well,
that could be really intense.
For some of us, maybe.
You know, I almost went for fashion. I almost became a fashion designer. I chose cartooning instead. I make cartoons. What are you laughing at? What are you looking at me like that for? How dare you? What? No, go ahead. No.
This is a man who, when I do laundry, yeah. is like, do you really need this many t-shirts?
Yes,
like,
I do. Yes, I do.
I'm not talking about undershirts. I'm talking about, like, t-shirts with things. I'm like, if you're getting a t-shirt, you have to lose a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's the new law of the house. If I get a t-shirt, I got to get rid of one.
It's
which
just,
is, I don't even understand why.
There can't be five drawers full of t-shirts. This is like why.
And what's the hate? By the way, how do I look today? I think I look pretty happening today.
I love that shirt. I got it for you.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
But I'm wearing it.
Thank God.
You know.
It's always good. I got you the skinny jeans.
Yes, you did. And you got me these boots. And you got me the underwear I'm wearing and the socks. The only thing you didn't get me is this watch.
Help this man.
Listen, Jacques, apparently I need help, apparently.
Well, you know, with the whole thing with style and fashion, you know, I think that people kind of get that mixed up. You know,
no disrespect, but I'm just using my eyeballs, all right? How do you think Jacques is dressed today? How do you think he looks?
I think he's spiffy casual. Like, he's casual. Not spiffy casual, because that's more like, to me, businessy.
Spiffy casual.
No, he's casual, but cool and relaxed. And it looks like, I love the little bear. Is that?
Ralph Lauren.
No, but the bear. Isn't that?
It's Ralph Lauren's polo.
Oh, because isn't, what's the bear?
Paddington bear?
Paddington.
No.
But that's what it reminds me.
He's going to wear a bear, a shirt with Paddington bear on it. Really?
Oh, but it reminds me of that bear because he's wearing a yellow slicker.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, right. I think that's cool.
Okay. Now, if you would compare me and him today only.
No, you both look nice.
Wait a second. If you would just look at us, not even knowing who we're on the street, we're standing in front of Starbucks, we're both talking, mm-hmm. Who would you say, oh, that guy looks better dressed than the other guy?
I wouldn't say one's better than the other.
That thought in your head?
It's a different vibe. It's not better or worse. It's just like, that's like cool, and I like that. And then, oh, that's cool too. I like that too.
It's a different look.
It's a different look. It doesn't make one better and one worse. Hmm. It just makes them different.
But if I dress like I normally do, you'd be like, what's that guy?
What's wrong with that guy?
He needs help from that other guy. So let me jump in there,
that poor guy.
To jump in there, right? You know, there's this saying that that came to me, and I'm sorry I can't remember where it came from or who told it to me. But it was different, not wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was very powerful because it made me think about how much of our lives are directed by that. I can't do that because that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wear this because that's wrong.
And he is the ultimate diplomat. So when your kid, how many kids do you have?
You just have one.
Just have the one. Were there any moments with raising your child where you would, I'm sure you would tell him stuff like this, correct? Like maybe he has a problem at school and he tells you and then you say, hey, listen.
For those of you who are listening, and if anyone has a child, you absolutely know that that's, They're just human beings, man.
No, I get that.
But do you guys have kids?
No.
No. Oh, well, we have two girls.
Oh, man.
We have two dogs.
But they have paws, and that's not a disease. It means they're dogs.
Listen, your kids do not care who or what you do, right? Regardless,
okay?
Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm not saying that I'm doing anything special, but I stay this way because that's how our family is. That's how our house is. It's very, you know, everybody's got to chip in. Everybody does their part. Hey, we stay in sync. Mm-hmm. And doing stuff like even with a teenager, he's bleep a teenager. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He is a teenager. I'm sure a lot of the stuff that drives me crazy about him,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
some of it I have come to realize, and more than I'm going to know later, is what I do.
Okay. Mm. So it's part of you.
Yeah,
absolutely. See, I want to keep Jacques around more often. Man. Because
no, you don't.
We have a guest who has a problem with me. He can then talk to the guest and say, listen, if Frank's not wrong in what he's saying, it's just different from what you're saying.
I have been called a fixer.
Ah.
Oh, a fixer. Okay. That's sexy.
Yeah, I think it's sexy now, but I mean, this was many, many years ago.
Okay. They don't play that anymore?
People call me all kind of things.
Yeah. Like what? Anything good? Anything bad or anything good?
Anything bad?
I've heard people call me Dracula.
Dracula?
Or Jocula, that I suck the blood out of people.
Really? I don't see that at all.
I don't know. I do know who I am as a person. Okay. I know that my my personality is very, I would say a strong, confident personality.
Well, yeah.
But I'm not like overbearing and things like that.
Well, maybe
and
I know people see things about themselves that maybe they're not happy about. And then they don't like you
well,
now.
Well, that's sometimes a problem.
That's not my thing. But I just...
I'm not saying you do it on purpose.
If that's ever happened, please, I apologize. It's definitely not my intent.
Oh, wow.
I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable around me at all.
You are a bigger man than I am. You're apologizing to people you think you don't even know that you may have offended. Maybe. That's a great trait. Seriously.
But back to fashion.
Yeah, fashion.
Yeah, anyway. We'll see how far it gets me. You know, whatever. I think I got more years behind me than I do ahead of
no.
me.
So no, 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 no.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I don't believe that for a second.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're in the bloom of youth still.
Yeah, right, cool.
So tell me about fashion. Why did you gravitate to that, or sure. you know, and what is your role in it now, or what is it cool. in your life?
Yeah, so I'm going to jump around a little bit about
sure,
that, but I've as long back as I can remember. There's actually a recent photo of me with one of my brothers and his girlfriend at the time, where I've got a red two-piece hookup on, and I got a ball in my hand. You know, I'm left-handed, so I realized at that young age that red was my color, man. I just dug the color red. And like, there's a bunch of pictures now that I think about it, you know, they're surfacing over the years where red was a dominant color. My father was someone who was, he was a nice dresser, and I don't know much about him, but okay. he was a very nice dresser. I still have some cufflinks that he gave me, you know, when I was little.
Cufflinks, like,
yeah,
wow.
yeah.
Like, you need a whole special shirt to even wear those.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, French cuff shirt. So yeah, I think that, along with, you know, my grandfather was a bit of a badass, like a union guy, mm-hmm. Through a Fisher Body over GM.
Okay.
So he had a particular swagger about him. He was always wearing his colors. Like, they had this funky bluish gray bomber jacket they wore that was embroidered. He just wore that shit. Like, he wore his bomber like badass.
Right, right.
And I wish that I knew where that jacket was. He may have been buried in it for all I know. But anyway, so I mean, this whole idea of that, and then baseball was a really big part of me, you know, growing up.
Like, baseball?
Yeah, yeah. From playing with my cousin Juan, who's two weeks older than me, growing up with him. We played sandlot ball together, pitcher, nice. Catcher, shortstop, first base, infield, outfield,
wow.
wiffle ball tournaments, all kinds of things. So the whole idea of team also was a big idea as well. And again, I talked about how right. I grew up in a village. Mm-hmm. So part of the team, and when I was growing up, man, baseball players, you had to look fresh, you know. I'm not a Phillies fan, but, you know, Bake McBride, Gary Maddox, you had to look. You wore your baseball uniform, like, you know, your stirrups. It had to be clean. It had to be pressed. It had to be
clean,
white.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that probably lends to, you know, my father had a military background, so I'm sure that was probably instilled in it in some capacity.
Right.
And then I'd played, you know, Little League Baseball, and very successful. Ewing Mobile, Tony's Mobile, Ewing All-Stars. We did really well. And it was always that team concept and the uniforms. And as I went to college for fashion, there was nothing that really stuck out to me about that period of time. Because, you know, that was really like the dirty backpack, almost Club Nouveau kind of thing.
If you don't mind me, well, you told your age right, but were you in college?
So like the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I think that's when, like, there was this cool generational shift. You know, I remember in Living Color, not the show, but the band. Big shout out to those guys who've played locally, and I've had a chance to see them and spend some time with them.
Really? All right.
Cool. So Living Color, I think, was maybe the start of the musical thing there. You know, you had these African-American black men who were definitely up on their culture, urban, but they were playing the hardest music out there that was rock and metal. So I'm taking it somewhere. So I think at this whole time, there was this whole mix up of different styles and things coming together. But I think that I really settled on my style after college, getting into the space where whatever I had to do had to be functional.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like, I had to be able to move in what I was doing. Like, if I was over a drafting table, if I was on a computer, like, I could wear a tie, but I couldn't have a tie dangling. It had to be tucked in. So what does my look now, what does a tie show when it's this bit instead of the whole thing? You know, all those things have gotten me to the space where I call my style urban casual.
Okay.
So if you look at me, I can go out and play basketball. I don't promote violence, but if I have to protect myself at any given time, I'm wearing enough clothes that I'm not going to slip and fall. Like those kinds of things.
And you still have your look up.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And that's also another reason why I've never really been into, like, jewelry and stuff like that. I have watches, but that to me is like, it's a status thing, and I'm not really into status.
Mm-hmm. Watches are a status thing?
For a lot of people. And I think the ones that I had, you know, were, you know, they were antique-y and have a meaning to them, and I wouldn't want to wear them and just have the vibe of it trying to show off some sort of status, and that's not what they're about.
Can you look at a guy and base an entire kind of a look or a wardrobe based on the person's look, like what he looks like, and what his character and personality are like? Oh, yeah. You like put a wardrobe together for that guy?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Really? And you could?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't want to get into too much, but you know, big shout out to Macy's. I am the stylist at Macy's Quakerbridge Mall. I'm not in the store right now. I hope to be returning back soon. If I do or if I don't, it's been a pleasure being there at Macy's, but I am currently still there, just taking a bit of a hiatus.
God, dude, what aren't you involved with? God.
Well, I think it seems like I'm doing a lot, but it's really just that everything that I do in my life is probably
public. Your life.
Yeah, so yeah. it kind of looks like that. Mm-hmm. But I also want to give a shout out to a couple of brands. Like, I know we had mentioned this polo shirt, but I want to give a big shout out to Puma. I am a huge Puma head.
Are you really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I've been
actually wearing Pumas.
Yeah, yeah. I for the most part, on my feet, it's more than likely going to be Puma. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of reasons why. I'd love to have that conversation with anybody who wants to talk about it. But I appreciate the quality of the shoe. Okay. I think that there's some true historical significance in equality and fighting racism in the brand.
Really? Wow, I would never even think that.
Yeah. Well, because it's not something that you...
Yeah. And again, that's also part of the industry. But I'll drop this out there. So Adidas and Puma, they're brothers.
Okay.
As a family, they supplied the sneakers the shoes to Jesse Owens.
Okay.
So the family split off, and from what I understand, they're still headquartered, rather close to each other,
right.
In Germany. But I'm a big fan of Puma because, one, it's a style that's a quality shoe, and it also was sponsored Ralph Sampson, who I was a big Ralph Sampson fan. I think I still have the original Sports Illustrated somewhere where on the cover it's like he dunks, he blocks shots, he dribbles behind his back, he's 7'4" and still growing. And it's Ralph Sampson. But Ralph Sampson shoes, that's what these are. They're like some of my favorites with Puma. And then also the relationship that they have with Walt Clyde Frazier. I'm not a Knicks fan, I'm a Sixers fan. Okay. Dr. J fan, big Dr. J fan. But the way Puma and Clyde, I mean, he was just smooth. Like, it doesn't matter what, even to this day, it doesn't matter what he's wearing, how he's communicating on the radio. Walt Clyde Frazier is the epitome of cool.
Wow. I think it's very cool that he knows this much about a sneaker company,
right,
and what their values are. Not just making a good shoe, which is everything priority.
Because there's a lot of shoes, sneakers that I am not a fan of.
No.
Yeah. But I won't mention their names.
We don't have to.
Well, I want to give a shout out to a local company, TerraCycle. I think that it's important for folks to think about what they do with their funds, whatever their funds are. Because we do have a choice. Regardless of who we are, we have a choice to where we spend our time,
absolutely,
our talent, and our treasures.
Our money.
Absolutely.
And I choose to do more research in what I do based upon my expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that all of us have expertise in different areas, and it behooves us to share that information. So I don't talk about things that I really don't know about, mm-hmm, which is one of the reasons why I think my show goes the way it does, is because the people who I talk to, I genuinely want to talk to. So with TerraCycle, to finish it is, they talk about, we may not be able to get to a space as far as, the products that we consume, but we can control how we consume them.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think that in itself is what we can do on a small scale,
mm-hmm,
in places like Trenton, and teach each other about it to make a small,
absolutely,
impact,
yeah,
on a global level.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that TerraCycle is based in Trenton, and
yes,
they're a global company, and the fact, mm-hmm, that they're not involved so much in what's happening in Trenton makes me wonder why.
Why? Ooh. Yes.
You hear that, TerraCycle? Come on the show and explain yourself.
No, I don't think it's not them.
No, don't worry. No.
No,
okay.
They're
all
good.
All right, TerraCycle.
Yeah,
calm down.
TerraCycle's a good shot. Good group. Yeah, I know Tom Zaki, Michael Waz.
Well, who should come on and explain that then?
Well, I don't think that a global company that's doing amazing work needs to explain how they can benefit the community where they exist.
Right. The point is, they're here in Trenton.
Right.
They're a global community doing great work in the globe.
In the world.
And they can't do anything in Trenton. It's not their fault.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't think he's having a specific engagement.
The problem isn't with them.
Right, okay. Okay.
And to be honest, too, I'm not going to say it's with anyone in particular.
Right,
in
right.
The city, because I don't have any all-seeing eye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, look, from here, they do this, and we have a litter problem? Like,
right.
What? Like,
right.
That makes zero sense.
See, that's the thing. I'm thinking Jacques has all the answers.
No.
That's how I see Jacques.
Mm-mm. I appreciate that. Thank you, but no.
No, I really legitimately mean that.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I'm like, if I had any question about anything,
mm-hmm,
pretty much,
mm-hmm,
maybe not about podcasting or whatever, but even then I'm lost. I got to go to Will for that. I'm going to call Jacques Howard. Well, they all call him in his neighborhood, right, and they're all involved. Right.
Well, speaking of broadcasting, let's cycle back to your show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What is the name of your show?
So the primary focus is Trenton 365, and it's the city, Trenton, and the numbers 365. It's based upon civic engagement, and the hashtag that I often use is civic engagement radio. And the reason why I do that is because the whole impetus behind the program is to get more and more people to get out of where they are and to engage with their communities.
Right.
But I do other shows. So through Trenton 365, I also have a performing arts page. Then we do Library Boxes of Trenton. I do a podcast there. I'm also the voice of Black Cannabis, and we'll be producing more shows through the Black Cannabis Media Network. House of Robot, I'm the host of that.
Yes. Bill Nobbs.
With Bill Nobbs. Yeah.
Okay, Bill's a great guy.
Yeah, I love Bill. Him and I got a great partnership with a House of Robot, and keep your eyes open for that. We're booked for a while with shows, but this is something that is really taking on an awesome form and space, something that Bill and I came together to just get me involved a bit more and to for us to get out of the way.
Right.
And so with that happening, there's a culmination of this really awesome energy. So if anyone's out there who is a performer or knows a performer, please don't hesitate. Just go to House of Robot or Trenton 365 Performing Arts on Facebook, type a DM, and let us hear something that you want to do. We want to showcase people who are doing some really interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a couple of celloists. We've had a saxophone-driven hard rock trio. There's just some amazing stuff going on. Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
And it's all recorded, right? Or broadcast?
Yeah, it's live streamed and it is recorded. But I want to make sure that we talk about this because big shout out to you guys for what you're doing here as well. We all know that for civilization to progress, art has to be part of it. And when we talk about art, it's every aspect of art, not just the performing arts, but architecture, roadways, all those different things, buildings, et cetera. So because of that, we have to, in communities like Trenton that claim to be arts communities and arts supporters, we need to have an arts economy where artists are considered just as equal as everyone else. And I say that because, especially now, a lot of people are thrusted into trying to do Zoom calls and they have no idea what they're doing. And everybody wants to start a podcast, which is cool. I mean, if you quickly should know if you got it or not.
Right.
You know, and you probably, and if you can't sustain a couple of years of doing this, you might not want to get into it. You know, if you're just going to do it just to do it for fun, don't be surprised if someone comes to you a little bit later and says, you know, you said this and I had a problem with that. So those kinds of things. So make sure that you're really into doing it. Folks, just because it looks easy doesn't mean it's easy.
Right.
And just because you can do something doesn't mean it's the best utilization of your time, talent, or treasure. That's all I'm going to say. If you guys want to talk about that, just hit me up and I'd love to have a conversation with anybody who wants to talk about that. As far as the arts community goes, we have, like I said, thousands of nonprofits who want airtime for free. They want coverage for free. You ask them for a budget. Oh, we've got no budget. Then you see an ad in the tabloid, local tabloid that costs X amount of thousands of dollars. And then they come back and things like that. And I'm having these conversations with some of these leaders and it's resonating with them. And they're agreeing that we have got to get to this space where if we're teaching, hey, kids, you should go into broadcasting because we got this amazing broadcasting program at the school. But then they look around and say, okay, well, who are the broadcasters who are making a living? Oh, well, let's bring Jacques Howard in and Will Foskey in and have them talk to you. And then you may have to get out of Trenton to make some money.
Look at that.
See, and they're the kind of conversations that we don't want to have now. We need to have those right now or should have had those before. And we're not going to be able to move forward until we do that. Kind of like addressing the cannabis and kind of addressing the amount of churches that are in a community that don't do anything in the community. All those conversations, man, we can't keep regurgitating the 50s, regardless of if what we look like and think that we're going to build this community. And plus the kids see through all this.
Right.
And I don't oh man, come on, bro.
They do. They see right through it.
Yes,
kids today, I mean, they're sharp.
They're watchers, they're listeners. And when things don't line up, it's like, this is bogus. This is...
Yeah, they may not even be able to put their finger on it, but they know just something's just not legit.
I was like that. That's why I'm talking about the Catholic Church. I was like, I don't get it. Like, why are they saying this and this and this? And then they say this and this.
I'm going to talk to this guy. Can I just go right to God?
Right. That was my... So kids are really savvy. Not just today, but...
Anyway. I like when Jacques laughs. I like that. Are you hosting the Levitt Music Festival anymore?
Yeah, so
coming back.
So a big shout out to Trenton Downtown Association, the Levitt Foundation, and Levitt Amp Trenton.
Yeah.
I have been asked and have accepted to be the host for the future of the Levitt Amp Trenton Summer Concert Series when it does come back.
Any idea?
As far as that goes, I do not have the information.
I would love to have it come back this year.
I would as well.
It's outdoor.
I know that
Jacques doesn't have the information. You know it doesn't exist.
No, I'm not. I just haven't been told.
Okay. Oh, you're not that guy, really?
No, come on.
I was surprised that they didn't have the Capital City Farmers Market.
Oh, like, I know. Exactly.
I'm like, why are they not doing it? It's outside, and I've seen other towns having their farmers markets coming back. I'm like, why not? It was so good.
I love being able to walk there from here and walk back.
I know. So wonderful.
Yeah. So with that, right, and the arts marketplace. So then let's think about this, right? You just nailed something. It was great, right? We think it was good. So there was obviously some sort of a logistics issue why they didn't have it.
Right.
Who's stepping up next?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the next idea? Okay, we can't do that. How can we do this? Because we know those people wanted this. We know they did.
Right.
They're chomping at the bit now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What can we do next?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can do something. Hey, are there any mobile vegetable trucks around?
Like a food truck that pulls up.
Boom, pop your thing, bang, bang, bang.
Right.
Let's think like outside the box.
Yeah.
A lot of those things, again, I think could be presented.
Mm-hmm.
If we had an arts marketplace and if the creatives were treated as importantly as they should be in modern society.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And through my efforts as Amons Brindled, which will be on the website, jacques-howard.com, I am not only putting my own art out, which is really repurposing, upcycling, repurposing art, and the funds go into Civic Engagement Radio, but supporting other artists that I feel I can do something to assist them. For example, just recently, I worked with Nacon Martin of Enokin Fitness, who's a fashion designer, actress, and recently did a bodybuilding competition, a fitness competition, and was very successful. Big shout out to you, Coney. And Nacon has been a friend since we were children. She asked me if I could assist her with something. It worked out. I connected some dots, got her connected with someone else, and another spinoff of something else is happening. I got to meet a photographer that was in the city doing things. So now I can plug that work into someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's how we build this organic space.
Mm-hmm. That's how it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Simple as that.
I'm a big fan of connecting people. Like, why don't we connect? This person is doing this here and this here. Let's think this would be a great, like, collaboration of things.
You know, a lot of people don't want to collaborate because they feel like, oh, if I collaborate with this person, then they're getting more money than more of a cut than I am. It's like, why can't you just work together? We have a wall of people at Newport City Podcast Network that work together, and yet they work as independent shows.
Well, I think if you're trying to hold on to a peanut, you're going to miss the bigger thing that's there.
Yeah, you need to open your hand and risk the peanut dropping out of it.
Right, let go of the peanut.
So you can get a whole bag.
That reminds me of something my Uncle Ike used to tell me.
You had an Uncle Ike?
I've spent a lot of time with him. To this day, people still say that there's a lot of my personality that, you know, they see as similarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, as humans, you spend a lot of time with someone, you're going to pick up those different traits.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he used to say, like money, it's like sand.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick it up and have a fistful of it, but the tighter you hold on to it, the less of it you have.
Right. Exactly. It's like, give it away, share it. It's going to just multiply then. I know. It's a hard thing for people to get, but it's so true. So true.
Jacques, would you like to hang around for a little something we call plugs?
Trenton Waves plugs.
Hair plugs? Oh, we didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about that.
So, you know, for as far as fashion goes, folks, so the beard was something I always play around with. Like, you know, I've got like that Homer Simpson thing. Like, I shave, and like later that day, it's like
10 minutes.
What? So, so I started growing it like out during COVID, and I was bald because prior to that, I had dreadlocks. And when I cut my dreads, shout out to Tom Hendricks, Tom. When I cut my dreads, I had like little spots where the hair didn't grow. So I just said, my hair will never grow again. So I was like, all right, whatever. And periodically I would let it grow, you know, like on a long weekend or something like that. And I'd look like a leopard. And I was like, maybe I'll just, you know, try something like that. And then it was like, nah, you can't go in a meeting looking like that. You're crazy. And then my wife and my son were like, you know, you should really just let it go. You're going to be home from work from COVID, you know, just go ahead and do that.
Okay.
And I did it and just started letting it go and go. And the original idea was I wanted to dye it like white because I figured it would like kind of match my beard and be kind of cool. But it turned out like blonde. And it, I didn't.
Blonde? Really?
Yeah, it was weird, man. It was weird. Like I wasn't really into it. But some people said it looked okay. But anyway, this is my natural hair now. And the idea was it started growing and growing. And then before you know it, the spots were gone. I'm sure they're still in there. One of my friends who's a comedian, Dan Regan, calls me the principal. He said I look like a middle school principal.
Dan Regan? Yeah. Any relation to Brian?
No. Okay. No.
Because Brian has a brother. Brian Regan, the comedian, has a brother who's a comedian.
Really? No. In fact, that's funny. We should talk about that.
Okay.
But for the brothers out there, man, I know you spend a lot of time, you know, shaving your head and all that stuff, and they got all these newfangled things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, as we progress on, taking that time. Anyway, man, let it go, man. We can't be talking about women. Hey, you know, what's this natural woman? I want this natural woman, and then we got dudes who, you know, might be a little ashamed to let their stuff go natural. So I'm doing this for the guys out there who are getting tired of shaving and saying, you know, I'm going to let this go.
Listen, sweetheart, I'm not letting my... I am shaving this every chance I get.
He doesn't
because
like the...
I look like, I don't know what, with
so
the horseshoe thing.
So did I. I look like a leopard.
You looked cool bald. I'm not saying you don't look cool now. I'm just saying.
I look cool now.
Well, no, you look cool now. See, he can't not look cool. That's the problem with Jock Howard.
You look cool.
Is that whatever he does,
darling,
he looks cool.
You look Thank cool, you, darling. Thank you.
It's very hard work.
Thank you.
It's very hard work.
A lot to do.
So, yeah, plugs. I would.
Okay, would you like to hang around for a little something? We call plugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there in... All right. Yes.
Cracking Wave Slugs. Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trent Waves, trentwaves.com. Visit us online at that web address, trentwaves.com. You can go to visit us on all of our social media. Anyway, what do you got?
I'm plugging the Trenton Farmers Market.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the ladies over at Shallot. The Lady and the Shallot. We just had breakfast/lunch there.
They'll be coming on the show soon. They've been bringing in food.
On Saturday, and it was delicious. They have a nice selection of fresh food. They make everything right there in front of you, and the juices are phenomenal. And I agree with you about the juice that you gave us, pineapple, ginger, and apple. A hit of bourbon in that would have been awesome.
Yeah, bourbon would have made that drink all the better.
But it was good.
You'll sell a lot more.
It was
them,
good without the bourbon too.
Yeah, Lady in the Shallot. They'll be coming on the show soon.
Yes.
And just so you know, again, August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, Podcast Movement in Nashville, Tennessee. We're all going. A lot of people from the network are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And maybe, who knows, maybe you'll see some video of us line dancing. I don't know. I hate it. I like Electric Slide. That's it. That's all I like.
Line dancing isn't the only kind of country dancing there is, right?
Yes, it is. It's the only one we're talking about.
No.
What other kind of dancing?
You got the
dancing?
Texas two-step. You got
That's
the,
like a line dance.
No, it's not. It's like a ballroom dancing
Is
kind.
It really?
Yes, it's couples dancing.
Texas two-step is more like ballroom
Yes, it's
dancing.
A couple dancing together.
The lighting in here just changed?
A little bit.
I thought so.
It's getting a little romantic.
I'm like, what's going on with this dim light? No. I don't even have a drink to look at this bourbon drink.
I know. I was like, what's happening? All right. But anyway, all right. Moving on.
All right. So anyway, Nashville, Tennessee. Get your tickets. 2021.podcastmovement.com. Okay. Jacques, how can people find you? How can people know you? How can people see you? Where can they go online to visit all things Jacques Howard?
Sure. So folks, with the ever-changing world of social media, there's a couple of hashtags you can search for. That's probably the easiest way to get me, and then that'll kind of connect you. So that would be Trenton365, hashtag Trenton365. The website, which will house everything under the acronym REACH, Recreation, Environment, Art and Culture, Civic Engagement, Health and Nutrition, will be on the website, which is my name, Jacques, no S, -howard.com, and you can also get trenton365.com, libraryboxesoftrenton.com. They'll all take you to the same place. And if you see me out in the community or something, say what's up. You know, I love talking to people, and as we venture out more and more, I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing what everyone else is doing and making sure that I can connect some dots. And if those of you have some ability to control some funding out there, make sure you realize that, man, those days are done where you think you can get all this great stuff that's happening in Trenton, like Trenton Waves and the host of other shows here, for nothing. We need to build the community that we want. And if we're willing to go to Philadelphia and New York and Newark and other places and drop cash, got to drop cash in the hometown.
That's right. That's right. Reach. You talked about reach. What do those letters mean again?
Sure. So reach is basically how I operate. So the acronym is reach. R-E-A-C-H. R is recreation. E is environment. A, art and culture. C, civic engagement. H, health and nutrition. And under each one, currently, under recreation, it's biking and skateboarding. Under the environment, it's the Delaware River and the water basin. A is under Amons Brindled, which is all art. C is civic engagement. That's the Library Boxes of Trenton effort. And under H, it's cannabis and mental health.
Well, so it's like, how do you spell Jacques? R-E-A-C-H. Seriously, because he just spent this whole, the last hour talking about all that stuff. And
That's great that you got that acronym.
It just gets grouped up into reach, and that's what he does.
Love it.
He's all about reaching out.
Love it.
Chris, why don't you land this episode with your infamous question?
In your imaginings of Trenton, what's your dream Trenton?
So I'm going to say this. So I've always said that Trenton needs to capitalize on its history and fully accept it, whatever it is, and also for the present, for where we are right now, and then design the future that we want. But in the designing of the future, I am only going to play a small portion of that. I need to have more information from the youth. What do they want to see? And with that being said, I look at progress, constant progress, as opposed to some big particular thing, the culmination of what Trenton would look like. To me, just through what I've been saying with Reach, I expect to see bike lanes everywhere. I expect to see pedestrian access. I expect to see motorists behaving properly. I expect to see a lot of the amenities that take place literally outside of Trenton in the communities of Ewing and in Lawrence and in Bordentown and in Hamilton, to see those types of attitudes and actions just take place here, and then for us to build upon that.
Cool. Love it.
I didn't realize how much I didn't know about you.
No, I really appreciate that stuff. It means important. It's very important to me that people, you know, recognize what I do, but not from the space that people think. Like, I am totally not in this from any space of like bigging myself up. And like, I guess some people would say it's a spiritual thing or whatever. But for me, literally, it's just that I every single day am very fortunate and know that I am.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And because of that, I just try to be in a space where it's not about me. It's about, you know, other people around me, and that has its challenges in itself. Like, you know, how do right. I handle that? Mm-hmm. You know, how does that look? You know,
sure.
When am I giving too much, et cetera? But all in all, for humanity, I feel really good where I am and what I'm allowed to do to assist in the lives of other humans getting better.
That's right.
Very cool.
Thanks, man.
Well, all right. Until next time, this has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves. Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.